I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is brought to you by our sponsor, KFC. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 132-96 win over the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, this game was such a blowout that, I mean, I looked over at the scoreboard at like the third quarter and I thought, wow, the Raptors are up like 40 points. And it just like, you know, it's one of those games where the Raptors weren't necessarily leading that much. It's actually kind of funny. This game reminded me a lot of the Detroit game in the sense that the Raptors just kind of came in and knew we are much better than this team. Let's just like screw around, see what we can get away with in the first half, you know, get some cardio in. And then third quarter rolls around, they start to take the game seriously, and it's over. It's a wrap. Like, the way the Raptors just pulled away from the Hornets tonight was incredible. And, you know, the one stat that stands out from this game, more than any other number, more than the fact that the Raptors won by 36 points, is the fact that the Raptors set a franchise record with 40 assists. Think about that. How many times have you seen 40 assists in a basketball game? Regulation basketball game, 40 assists. The Raptors just picked the Hornets apart. I mean, you know, the Hornets, I got to say, were not very impressive. They've had some, you know, I would say spirited performances early in the season. You know, they've made a couple of comebacks. Devontae Graham has been really exciting to watch. Terry Rozier, I don't know how he got that contract, but good for him, you know. And, yeah, they played some decent basketball, I would say. You know, I like watching a couple of their players. You know, P.J. Washington has been solid. I like that kid, Cody Martin, off the bench. Loheed today was scoreless. But yeah, wow, the Raptors just killed them. 40 assists, man. On 51% shooting from the Raptors, 46% from deep. That's 20 of 43 from three. Raptors didn't even need to get to the free throw line. And you know, it's one of those things where you look across the board and it's like, wow, the Raptors beat them at everything. Like, the one thing the Raptors have been weak at this year has been offensive rebound. They just kind of don't do it. You know, they don't really have the type of team to go for offensive rebounds. But at the same time, you look at it today, they had 16 offensive rebounds to Charlotte's 9. So they even out-rebounded them in terms of second-chance points and things like that. And again, the ball movement, 40 assists, is just so impressive. You know, and you look up and down the roster. You got Terrence Davis off the bench with 7. Marc Gasol leading the way with 9 as a center, by the way, which is very, very, very impressive. I know we're kind of spoiled nowadays watching, like, Nikola Jokic and guys like that, but remember, Marc Gasol was one of the original, you know, point type of centers, especially in Memphis, the way he sort of commanded the offense out of the high post, you know, feeding, whether it was like Mike Conley or finding Zebo in the high-low action, or, you know, even some of the older days when he would find Rudy Gay and a couple of those guys there, you know, him working the two-man game with old man Vince Carter. Like, you know, Mark has always been a phenomenal passer, and tonight, 9 assists to lead the Raptors. He was great. But, I mean, you look up and down the roster. Fred gives you 8 assists. Pascal gives you 5. Even Norman Powell, who I cannot stress enough that Norman Powell, a big weakness in his game is playmaking, especially from the shooting guard position. You would expect that to be a bigger facet of the game. But, man, 6 assists for Norman Powell. So, this is just a great effort by the team, and the Raptors just kind of picked the Hornets apart offensively. You know, the Hornets made life difficult for themselves because they kept turning the ball over, and the Raptors are the best transition team in the NBA. And so when you turn the ball over against this team, they're going to score. They're going to just run it down your throats. And, yeah, especially in that third quarter there, like, the Hornets just – it is funny, actually, because the Hornets were getting some buckets in the first half. You know, like, they were – you know, Cody Zeller would hit a 3, and, like – Marvin Williams was popping off a little bit, and, you know, Terry Rozier had a bucket, and you're like, okay, you know, Devontae Graham, he's kind of electric in terms of scoring, kind of like a new Lou Williams type. Cool. But then when the Raptors took it seriously in the third quarter, they came out, they played defense, And you look at Charlotte's offense, they make the most of what they have. Like, they don't have a lot of offensive talent. They don't have a natural shot creator, or at least one guy to sort of centralize their offense around. So what they do is share the ball, move the ball around, and shoot a ton of three-pointers. It's just imagine the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis, which is, you know, you don't have to imagine actually in 2 years. That's what they're going to be. But they just fire a ton of threes. But the thing is, it's one thing to fire a ton of threes against a team that doesn't rotate well. You can get hot. You can win some games. The Raptors, I would say the Raptors are one of the best defenses in the NBA in terms of just rotations. Strictly speaking, that's like the Raptors defending as a team, the way Nick Nurse has them going. Obviously, they won a championship playing this way, and it sort of continued onward. Like, the Raptors' rotations were so crisp, and especially in that third quarter when they decided to lock down on the Hornets, they couldn't get anything. And then any missed shot, the Raptors go the other way and score. The main star of the third quarter where the Raptors won 32-18 was OG Anunoby, who scored 16 of his career-high 24 points in the third quarter there. OG actually only ended up playing three quarters. He got scratched in the eye, although he was apparently fine. He was able to return, but he did briefly go to the locker room. But in any case, OG in that third quarter there, 16 points. And again, OG is not an explosive scorer, or at least he's not supposed to be. But when he gives you 24 points on 10 of 13 shooting, including 4 of 7 from 3, all 4 of those threes, by the way, were in the third quarter there. It was just, it was so, so impressive to watch OG you know, do his thing down there. I mean, like, the three-pointers, let's first off start with that, okay? So there's one where OG ran a pick-and-roll. Now, OG ran a pick-and-roll in the first quarter as well. Or in the first half as well. Maybe it was first or second quarter. I can't remember. The Hornets went under on the screen. He dribbled to the mid-range area, pulled up for a long two, switched it. Not necessarily the best shot you want to get from OG Anunoby and you want to get out of your offense. But, you know, I think that gave him some confidence. You know, he saw the way the Hornets were guarding him. And then in the third quarter there, OG runs another pick and roll. The Hornets go under again. Marc Gasol obviously setting a great screen. And OG just says, I'll pull up for three this time. I'll switch that. That's a great decision. There's another play where OG was in the corner there. Someone kicked him the ball. OG sort of like pump faked and then sidestepped and relocated and shot the three. And he made that as well. OG also had a Euro step in transition where he got the rebound or got the loose ball. And then took on two guys sort of like on his hip, one on each hip. You know, OG, who claims the UK, well, I mean, I guess he was born there, but, you know, does a little Euro step, literally moved through London with the Euro step and finished, you know, over the two defenders for a layup. He cut baseline for a dunk. I mean, Marc Gasol had many, many, many gorgeous assists tonight, but one of the best ones was, you know, OG was in the corner. The defender was sort of having his back turned, wasn't sure if he was going to cover OG on one side or the other side, and didn't know which way Marc was going to throw the pass. OG sort of faked towards the corner. The defender sort of turned and sort of tried to go to the corner. Then OG pivoted, cut back door. Marc Gasol with a beautiful find and beautiful patience to read what OG was doing so that he didn't throw the pass to the corner, but instead he held on to it a second longer, passed to OG. OG cuts back door for a dunk, and it was just such an impressive stretch, man. At one point, OG just like sized up his man. It was a short shot clock situation, pull up three, and he makes it in isolation with a shot clock running down. Obviously, he's not going to make a lot of these shots consistently, at least not right now, but the way he's showing potential right now is wild. I mean, 24 points in 27 minutes. It's almost unthinkable for OG. And this is something I said when OG had a great game against New Orleans, when I just said, you know what, let's stop putting, you know, let's stop putting ceilings on OG. Let's just see how far he can take it this year. And, you know, and part of that, I was kind of speaking to myself because I had said in preseason that I kind of see OG as a 3-and-D type, and I think it's okay. I think he's going to be really good in that role. And he has been in that role, and he's done really good in that role. But you're starting to see more things. Like him running, being able to run, pick, and roll, and create some offense. If that's something that, especially if he can hone it, he can tighten up the handle, obviously, and do a little bit more of that. You know, we're seeing more and more of OG create his own offense. Like, you know, in the first half, there was also a great play where OG has done this a couple times now, but OG, one of the best strengths he has on in terms of his game is that he's just so physically strong. And so when he drives, he can almost like push his defender back and create space for himself, create separation. And OG did that effectively on one of his drives. Now, granted, he also picked up a charge on Nick Batum, trying to do the same thing. You know, I would say it was a bit of a flop by Nick Batum, but nevertheless, like, you know, OG does have the strength and, you know, he has to sort of, you know, control and harness it. But at the same time, this man is he's playing excellent basketball. He keeps getting scratched in the eye, so maybe he should look into getting some goggles or whatever. My suggestion would be to wear the champagne championship goggles, just as a flex. You know, just be like, yeah. These goggles, yeah. I got them from when we won the NBA championship. Yeah, so maybe he can look into some eyewear, but. He's been phenomenal. I love the way OG's playing. And then the defense, too. There's just one or two plays a game where he just bullies and takes the ball from you. Like, it's I don't want to say it's Kawhi-esque because I'm not going to draw that comparison there. But the way he steals the ball sometimes is legitimately reminiscent of the way Kawhi would, you know. I mean, I should go look up on YouTube Kawhi versus Ben McLemore, that kind of steal, where he's just like, takes the ball from you, rips it from you, and it goes the other way and creates offense. So I love the way OG played today. I thought Mark, as I mentioned earlier, was phenomenal with his playmaking. It's another example of how Mark can sort of affect the game without actually having to dominate touches. You know, the way I would compare Mark is like, you know, a great conductor in the orchestra, in the sense that, like, you know, the conductor doesn't actually play any instrument. He's not creating any of the sound, he's not adding to it, but what he does is that he improves the sound of everyone else. He keeps everyone on time. He picks up the energy from a section that's lacking. He cues one place or the other. He sort of quiets them down. He just basically controls the tempo of the game, and he really controls how the game is played, and he really does make everyone around him better. Like, that's why, even though Marc Gasol is averaging like 6.6 rebounds, shooting like 20% from two-point range, it's not good. And a lot of times when he shoots the ball, it looks really terrible. But when you look at the advanced stats, every single stat on the floor pretty much for every single player improves with Marc on the floor. You know, there's a noticeable change for what, you know, Norm performs with Marc Gasol on the floor. Obviously, Marc is really good at sort of setting up Mark or Norm. I think it's almost a special case there, but you know, Mark improves to play a Pascal, he improves to play a Fred, he improves to play of OG, and you can see it tonight. Like the 9 assists, like a lot of them are just very, very impressive two-man actions. Like Mark, for example, got his 7th and 8th assists finding Fred VanVleet. So the Hornets tried to zone the Raptors, which is hilarious considering they're so experienced and they know exactly what to do. And having Mark is such a luxury against a team that will zone you because, you know, Mark's going to get into the middle of the floor. He's going to catch the ball. He's a huge target, obviously, 7 feet tall. And when the defense rotates, and Mark is going to be so fast. He's going to calculate. He's going to find. He's going to create the angles to find people open for three. He found Fred VanVleet open for a wing three. And then on the 8th assist, I thought that was probably his best pass of the game, that one, and also the backdoor pass, bounce pass to OG, where Mark sees Fred in the corner, but then Fred also slides from the corner, like, to the deepest part of the corner possible. So he's sort of just, like, that extra little bit of, like, 2-3 feet of movement really created an extra bit of space for Fred to be open from. And because Fred's man was caught watching Mark was able to do a look-away pass where Mark is looking sort of towards the wing, but then he throws a bounce pass against the momentum of his body into the corner, the deepest part of the corner where Fred was spotting up, and Fred rises up for three. And I just thought that was just such an impressive sequence. And again, that's what Mark does. Like, at this point in his career, Mark is not someone that's going to score the ball for you. Like, three-point shots he's going to have, and I guess if he gets fouled, he can make some free throws. But he's not going to be a player that's going to be chipping in a lot in terms of post-ups. You're not going to get the ball to him in the post. And he's not, at least right now, he's not going to hit those face-up jumpers that he made a whole career on. Or those little sweeping hook shots. That just seems to be lost on him right now. But at the same time, if he can space the floor and if he can pass the ball and he can screen, he can play defense. His defense today was really, really good. If he could do all those things, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? The team is like a symphony, and you really need a conductor, and the conductor is Marc Gasol. So I thought he did a great job tonight, especially with the 9 assists. It was very fun and very pretty to watch Mark. There's that famous saying about Lionel Messi where you watch the game, you see Lionel Messi. You watch Lionel Messi, you see the game. And I'm not saying you watch Marc Gasol and you see the game, but when you watch the game through Marc Gasol's eyes and you sort of see him process, you know, where the openings are and where the passes can be and where he can improve and his the play of his teammates, you know, Mark does it. It's nice watching an unselfish player is what I'm trying to say. Norm Powell also was great. It's a funny moment in pregame where, you know, Nick was talking to reporters, and I forget who asked him about Norm Powell, but it was just like, hey, man, like, what's going on with Norm? Like, what do you want to see from Norm? Is it frustrating to see the inconsistency? And Nick Nurse, I love how frank Nick Nurse is. Maybe it's just sort of the Midwestern thing. But Nick just said, you know, sometimes, oh, what do you say, actually? I wish we could pencil him for 16 each night instead of 26-1-0 the next, which I thought was just hilarious because coaches don't usually say in such frank terms, just like coaches don't outright say guys like Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson are unskilled, you know, just calling out players or telling Pascal to stop fouling. Like, coaches generally aren't that honest, but Nick Nurse, I think maybe a part of him, you just can't help but be honest. And honestly, that is the truth with Norm. Like, anybody who's watched Norm, and Nurse has been here for Norm's entire professional career, you know, 5 seasons with the Raptors, either as an assistant or head coach. So he's seen Norm, and so he understands, like, the frustration of, like, yo, what is going on? Why is it always that, you tease one moment and then you're like coming out and you're playing great, and all of a sudden the next game you disappear? And, you know, that's just kind of the story of Norm Powell. But to Norm's credit, I gotta say, you know, as Nick said, he wants 16 points out of Norm consistently. Well, guess what? The last five of the last six games, Norm Powell's had 14 or more points. He had 18 against the Lakers. He had 14 against the Clippers. 18 against the Pelicans, 14 against the Lakers, 15 against the Clippers, 2 points against Dallas or Portland. Obviously, that game was a bit of an off game. He was completely invisible. But he comes back strong with 26 points against Dallas. And today, 17 points for Norman Powell. What I actually like, too, is the 6 assists. So not only does that show that Norman was making good decisions within the flow of the offense to take good shots, that he was makeable shots. Like, honestly, he shot 2 of 8 from deep, but I didn't really take exception to most of his attempts. I thought they were mostly good. But the fact that he was also able to generate 6 assists, you know, a lot of that was sort of the gravity of his slashing, where he's able to, you know, beat his man, get into the lane, collapse, draw a second defender, and dump it off to someone else. That's something where Norm has struggled in the past. Like, he definitely gets tunnel vision. Once he drives past his man, he definitely wants to shoot it. But I thought Norm did a better job of distributing tonight and sort of playing within the flow of the offense. Like, look, man, the offense is clearly working. They got 40 assists. And I was happy that Norm was able to chip in with 6 of his own. So I liked Norm's effort overall. He had some impressive drives in transition. Again, this is stuff that's not unusual to Norm. And honestly, I think part of Norm's resurgence right now is that he's playing so much more with Gasol due to the injuries. Obviously, he slid into the starting lineup. And, you know, Gasol finds Norm Powell like 2-3 times a game just on curls and just cuts the basket. And I think those are things that will just help Norm get going, get him engaged, get him involved. And then get him to almost buy in every single night. It's weird. You don't want a guy to have to, you know, consistently need to sort of engage him and involve him just like that. It's almost like the way the Raptors used to play with JV, where you got to give him the ball in the post a couple of times just so that he's, like, engaged in the game. But it's almost like that with Powell. And Powell, when you do engage him, he can give you consistent scoring. I thought Powell was very good tonight. I thought Pascal was very good tonight. It's funny. He had 28-5 with a steal, a block, you know, 7-14 shooting, 3-6 from deep in 35 minutes. And I honestly didn't think he cracked a sweat or anything like that. He was a plus 36 as well. This man, like, he's so good now. Like, he could just do all this within the flow of the offense and never have to take over. And I thought it's nice, you know, even though he played 35 minutes, it's kind of a night off for him in the sense that he didn't have to run every play through him. Like, on the road trip, guys were tired, you could tell. The offense was not as creative. Obviously, the Raptors won some games, but a lot of that came on the back of defense. Pascal was just, you know, the guy, he was posting up like 10 times a game, isolating. The ball was going through him every single possession, and that's got to be exhausting. So today, for him to just play within the flow of the offense, you know, take some threes when they're there, you know, a transition bucket for a dunk, cuts, things like that, a little putback here and there, like, just it. You do all that. You just play within the flow of the offense, and Pascal is so good now. His skill set is so varied that even when he doesn't try to impose himself on the game, the man still gives you 28-5. So I thought that was great. I thought the bench was great tonight. The bench gave the Raptors 55 points, which is, like, wow. And again, you got to remember, this is the bench without a lot of their pieces. Like, normally Norm will be there, and normally Serge will be there. Normally those two guys can give you, like, almost 30 points. So to not have those guys, because Serge is out and Norm's in the starting lineup, and the bench still give you 55 points, is is excellent. I thought Chris Boucher was great. One thing I wanted to see was how Boucher's energy compared to Bismack Biyombo, because obviously, as Raptors fans, we all know that, you know, Biyombo is a legend here in Toronto. He's revered for the way he played, the all-out hustle. Well, guess what, man? Chris Boucher gives you 11 points, 11 rebounds, including 7 offensive rebounds. Meanwhile, Bismack Biyombo gives you 13 points. Okay, that's pretty nice. The Hornets were really doing a good job of finding him in the paint. But only 2 rebounds. You know what I mean? So Chris Boucher gives you 11 rebounds to Bismack Biyombo, who only had 2. And those guys matched up a lot against each other. So, again, I love the energy from Boucher. One possession, he got 2 offensive rebounds, sort of. And I think Rondé got 1 as well. All 3 of them missed tip-ins, which, again, 2018 flashbacks, whatever. We have a championship banner. It's behind me over there. And so we can forget about those dark days. But, yeah, I mean, Boucher was great, man. 11 points, 11 rebounds off the bench. The energy, the hustle is amazing. I thought Rondé Hollis-Jefferson was great. Man had 15 points at halftime. Not a single play was run for him. That's impressive. That's a real skill to be that involved. You know, there was that meme that came out over the weekend where Rondé Hollis-Jefferson posted a picture of him talking to Pascal and Fred, and he captioned it like, yo, you guys got your two-man game going, but what about looks for me? And Fred, like a savage, told him like, yo, get to the dunker. And Pascal responded with some crying, laughing emojis. I thought it was really funny, but also it was really accurate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rondé, his best role in the offense is to be in the dunker spot, which is the little gap right on the foot of the paint, along the baseline there. And that's where Rondé spends most of his offensive possessions, because obviously he's not a threat to shoot. Like, I'm telling you, it's not just he's not shooting the ball. He's not shooting the ball for a reason. When you watch him warm up and stuff, he's just like, it's the ball sprays everywhere when he shoots. But, you know, as a guy who's in the dunker spot, he makes a lot of things happen. Like, he is consistently able to, he's got really, really good timing in terms of when to flash and get himself open. So, you know, that's, you know, he kind of goes from the baseline and makes a small little cut, like only like 2 or 3 meters, but he gets in the middle of the lane. All of a sudden, whoever's driving is able to dump it off to him and he can go in for a layup. He's very crafty in the sense that he's a lefty, and all lefties are kind of crafty, and defenses kind of just forget which way to play them, and he's able to sort of get open and go to his left hand for the layup. He gets a lot of layups for a guy who, again, nobody's running plays for this guy. And also, he gets on the offensive glass, right? So you love all those traits about him. Like today, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 offensive, 4 defensive. Gets you 2 assists as well in 20 minutes, 6 of 10 shooting from the field. Very, very efficient. Also made 3 of his free throws. It was great. Terrence Davis played a lot in garbage time. He was really, really hurt by foul trouble. I mean, it's actually crazy how much the referees are just slapping him with everything. Part of being a rookie, I guess, but still, it's unfortunate. But he had a good game. 16 points, 7 assists. A lot of that in garbage time. You know, him pulling up for 3, the confidence is very good. He had 4 or 5 from deep. And if that 3-point shot continues for him, that's going to be really good. Like, you know, you could easily see how he could be, in the future, like an upgraded version of Norman Powell, where he's Norman Powell with the slashing and with the athleticism and with the jump shooting, but he can also give you some playmaking. And it's, you know, the 7 assists is nothing to scoff at. Even in a game like this, where the Hornets weren't playing much defense, 7 assists is still pretty good. And then even Matt Thomas, man, yo, you know, the Asian expectation, comes off the bench, gives you 2 threes. Malcolm Miller comes off the bench, gives you 5 points in garbage time. Dejuan Hernandez gets his first professional bucket in transition, takes it sort of the length of the court for a layup. It was a 3-on-1 fast break, but no one stopped the ball, so he went in for a layup. O'Shea Brissett got called up because Stanley Johnson was out with a groin injury, and Brissett, you know, didn't get a basket, but it'll come eventually. And then, yeah, so it was a great effort altogether, you know, and, you know, before I go to 3 stars, I really want to mention the KFC bucket of the game, where this happened in, I think this was in the third quarter there. So Norman Powell's open in the corner. He shoots a 3. He short irons it. The ball bounces right back to Fred VanVleet, who pitches it back to Norman Powell. Like, Norman Powell basically hadn't even moved. So Norman Powell shoots the same shot from the same spot, hits, again, short iron. The ball bounces around. Pascal Siakam flies in for the offensive rebound, keeps it alive, and then the play goes on, and eventually OG Anunoby stands in that same right corner where Norman Powell had just missed 2 threes. The ball swung to OG. Somehow he's open in the corner again. If you're a head coach, now you'd be pulling out all your hair, because not only has your team given up two offensive rebounds on the same play, but they have allowed three wide open corner threes, which is, like, aside from layups and free throws, like, the best shot in the game. And this time OG switches the three. The crowd goes wild. Raptors go up 21. Obviously, you know, Hornets coach James Borrego whistles for timeout, and he's pissed. And the Raptors, man, on it, in that third quarter, in that fourth quarter, they were getting buckets. Like, I'm telling you, man, Raptors had 32 points in the third quarter, 40 points in the fourth quarter. Like, man, it was ruthless, too. Like, the way, you know, the Hornets would miss, and then the Raptors bench guys would come in, and all of a sudden, Terrence Davis, bucket, three. Matt Thomas, bucket, three. Like, you know, Chris Boucher comes in for offensive rebound, put back. You know, it's just like, it was ruthless to see the way the Raptors pulled away from this game. It was wild, man. Like, you just look up the score. Again, it's one of those things where, you know, when the game's a blowout, you kind of get a head start in terms of your writing and what you're trying to do post-game. Because obviously the result is, you know, predetermined. And then you look up after, you know, you've been writing 10 things, like in my case. And then you're like, man, the Raptors are up 40 points. And, like, the Hornets, they're not that bad of a team. Like, they were 6-7 coming in. That's respectable. That's almost 500. For a team like the Hornets, that's pretty good given their talent level. They play hard. They have a cohesive system. It's not that great of a system, but it's also not that much talent. But, like, yo, the Raptors just killed this team. Like, it was, I don't know. It was very fun to watch. It was very fun to watch. So, in terms of your three stars from tonight, number one star goes to OG Anunoby, 24 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 10 of 13 shooting from the field, 4 of 7 from deep in 27 minutes. Again, like I mentioned, he didn't play the fourth quarter, A, because the Raptors were up like a million points, and also B, because OG got scratched in the eye. Apparently, he's okay, so, you know, crisis averted, but it is unfortunate he got scratched in the eye twice in like a week. Second star, giving that to Norman Powell. I thought he was great. 17 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals in 25 minutes, 7 of 15 from the field, 2 of 8 from deep. Got a little bit of slander from Nick Nurse, but also, you know, Norman's delivering, man. Again, 5 of the last 6 games, Norman Powell's giving you 14 points or more. That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. And then your third star, I mean, you can go a lot of places. You can go with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, 15 points. I thought he was great in the first half. I thought Chris Boucher deserves it with, you know, a little bit also in terms of 11 points, 11 rebounds in just 18 minutes. And again, out-hustling Bismack Biyombo is not easy. It's not easy. We know how great Bismack is. But personally, I'm giving it to Marc Gasol. 5 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, great defense, 29 minutes for the 7-foot Spaniard who, I mean, I don't know, man. You can't expect that much scoring from him nowadays. It's really a luxury when he gives you like 12 points, and that's going to have to improve over time. But the playmaking that he did today, the defense that he played, perfect. He got the team running. He got the team humming, and the Raptors, as a team, dominated. Marc Gasol himself didn't play that, like didn't do most of the scoring, but he definitely made everyone else score, and he definitely made everyone else better. And that's the whole point. Basketball is a team game. You ask Marc Gasol about all his struggles, he'll definitely tell you the same thing. As long as the Raptors are winning, and the Raptors are 9-4, 5-0 at home so far, you know, yeah, life could be a lot worse. Life could be a lot worse than Marc Gasol. Okay, yeah, he's scoring 6 points, but you know what? The man had 2 championships over the summer. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's not so bad. And the Raptors aren't playing so bad right now either, so great job by Mark. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, bro, this is tough. This is tough because the leading scorer for the Hornets tonight was Marvin Williams with 14 points. And so he will get the Gerald Henderson Award. Yeah, but, I mean, we're talking about like 34-year-old Marvin Williams giving you 14 points, and that's leading your team in scoring? Like, yikes. Yikes. So, you know, Marvin Williams, 14 points, 4 or 5 shooting from the field, 3 or 4 from deep. The Raptors just kept leaving him on defense, and he scored a couple times. He got 2 blocks as well. So, good job, Marvin Williams. Congratulations. And, yeah, the Raptors just worked these Hornets, you know? And the Raptors have the Magic coming into town soon. The Magic have not played well. We saw the Raptors already beat the Magic recently, and, you know, I expect a similar result. And then the Raptors take on the Hawks on Saturday. Actually, I won't be here for that game. My buddy is getting married. Actually, 2 of my very close friends are getting married, so that'll be great. But Big V will be here to you know, fill in for the podcast. I'm not sure if he'll go on YouTube, but at least the podcast will continue, so you can listen for that on Saturday against the Hawks. But honestly, I expect the Raptors to win all 3 of these games. The first game, they definitely took care of business. And if they show the same kind of ruthlessness and professionalism in their approach for the next game, they're going to win again. So good times for the Raptors. Obviously, I, you know, like personally, of course, I would like to see the Raptors get more wins against like high quality competition. You know, the Raptors this season have cleaned up against under 500 teams, and their record against above 500 teams, it, you know, they only beaten the Lakers. But you got to consider the circumstances. They played all these above 500 teams on the road. It's not easy to go to TD Garden in Boston and win a game. It's not easy to go to the Clippers arena on the second night of a back-to-back and win a game. It's not easy to play the Mavericks on the last game of a road trip and win. It's not easy to go to Milwaukee and win a game. Unless it's the playoffs. But, you know, nevertheless, I want to see, you know, the Raptors sort of perform in a situation where they can have more of the roster full, you know, at their disposal and see what the Raptors look like, especially at home against a top-tier competition. And so I'm looking forward really to next Monday's game on the 25th against the Philadelphia 76ers, who will be in town. Sixers actually aren't playing that great, but obviously they have a lot of talent, so they're going to be a tough matchup. So I'm really interested to see how the Raptors do in that game. And there's a chance Kyle Lowry returns for that game. He's supposed to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, so that's basically this weekend. So we'll see. And chances are, you know, obviously Kyle loves playing against his hometown of Philly. So my guess would be he plays that one, but you know, there's a lot to look forward to. Again, the Raptors are 9-4. Times are great. They have a championship banner. They keep honoring former Raptors. You know, you're getting a lot of great memories. They you know, they shouted out Del Curry. They shouted out Bismack Biyombo. Jay Triano is also on the Hornets bench, but they, for some reason, you know, they didn't honor Jay Triano, which I'm fine with, honestly. I watched those defenses in like 2011 and 2012. That stuff was unwatchable, and I'd rather not revisit it. So, Jay Triano was not a good coach. It's not for Canada, not for the Raptors either. But you know, we're on to better times. We're really on to better times. And so, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to everyone for watching the podcast on YouTube. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, KFC. And I'll speak to you on Wednesday after the Raptors take care of the Magic. Peace.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.